So, several weeks ago, we started this series called Missional Community. And I started it off by sitting on this very couch right here. And we talked about how the church, we could compare it a little bit to a comfy couch. A couch, you know, when you go home at the end of the day, you sit down and you enjoy sitting on that comfy couch and you enjoy being there. And we talked about how the church should be like that in a way. It should be a place that you feel comfortable, where you feel welcome, you feel part of a family, and you feel supported and cared for, and you can grow in your knowledge and understanding of who God is. But we also talked about how we can't just stay on the couch. We can't just stay on the couch because we are not called as a people who follow Jesus to simply be couch potatoes. We're not simply meant to just sit there and enjoy. God actually has purpose for you. And I want to tell you a little bit this morning as we finish up this series on missional community. I want to tell you a little bit about my story of how I became so passionate about living for Jesus and living out the call on his life or on my life. When I was growing up, I loved my church growing up. It was a great place. It was that comfortable couch, so to speak. And they poured so much into me, and I learned so much about the Bible and who God was and all those things. But one of the things it was a little bit lacking in was actually going out and reaching out to people in the community and caring for the poor and things like that. And so I'd gone off to Bible college, and I'd come back, and I was involved in some other churches over, but I just found, I came to kind of this crossroads, this crisis of belief, if you will. And maybe some of you young people are in that place right now. And I kind of came to the place where I just said, there has to be more than this. There has to be more than going to church on a Sunday morning, maybe going to a Bible study midweek, and that's it. There has to be more to living out your faith. This doesn't seem to measure up. When I read the Gospels and when I read Acts of the vibrant faith and the things that Jesus commanded us to do, and then I see the life of my church, it's just like the two didn't seem to gel. And I kind of came to this place where I was wrestling with, do I just say goodbye to the church and walk away entirely? Or do I say, okay, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. And so I was wrestling with that. And so I decided I should probably pray about this. It seems like the smart thing to do would be to spend some time in prayer with God. And in that prayer time, I just really felt the Holy Spirit speak into my life. Well, and just say, like, you know, you can complain about the church. You can even choose to walk away from the church. Or you could choose to be a part of the change you want to see. You could choose to get up off the couch and be part of the mission that I have for the church. You could choose even to lead by example about what it means to live out the mission of God in your life. And that, for me, was when I decided that I was interested in being part of full-time ministry. That it wasn't really, it's something I kind of batted around, maybe, kind of, I don't know, I don't think so. That moment, I just felt, you know what? I want to be part of living out the mission that God has for each and every one of us. And not only did I want to be part of it, I wanted to empower and inspire other people to do the same. And so this morning, as we wrap up our series on becoming a missional community, I want to talk about what it means to be a sending community. Because Jesus, many times in the Gospels and in Acts, says, go. I am sending you. We're a sent people. Those of us that say we would follow Jesus, we're a sent people. We're sent with purpose and mission. And there is more to the Christian faith than just coming to church. There's more. And I'm glad that there's more, because there's so much life that can be experienced when you are living out the calling that God has given you for your life. And so we're going to talk about, what does it mean then to be a community that empowers people to live out the calling that God has placed on their life this morning. And so we're going to start out this morning in the very place that we started the whole series in, and that's John chapter 20. And to lay the scene out for you, what's happened is Jesus has passed away and he's rose again, but his disciples are afraid. They're afraid of what the religious leaders and the people of that day might do to them. So they're in a room with the door locked and they're afraid. And all of a sudden, in their midst, Jesus appears, which is enough to freak anybody out. You're in a room with locked doors and all of a sudden, poof, there's Jesus. And he says to them, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And what happens is that these people go from being people who are sitting in a room, terrified, afraid, locked door, not going out, playing it safe, to a people that go and they don't care what anybody says. They're going to tell people about Jesus and what he's done. They don't care. And the difference is they received the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to say to you this morning is that we are, if we are followers of Jesus, we are sent people, but we're not sent on our own to be lone rangers, to be superheroes of the faith, to do it on our own strength and ability. If we were, we would fail many times over. I often know that I am not strong enough sometimes to share my faith in and of my own strength. And I know that I'm not strong enough to live out the values that the gospel has of mercy and justice and compassion and love and forgiveness, except by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so we're not just sent on our own, we're sent with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that by the power of that Spirit, Jesus was raised from the dead. If we are followers of Jesus, that same Spirit lives in us and empowers us to live out the mission that God has called us to. And so we're not sent on our own. And I want to say to you also this morning that this church wants to say to you that you are sent with the support of the church. We want to be a church that empowers you to live in the calling that God has for your life. We want you to be able to discern it and to be equipped to live it out. And so you don't go on your own. This church wants to support you to live with gospel intentionality in your life. And finally, you are sent with the message of the kingdom. I mean, when you look at the world, most businesses, most NGOs, they all have mission statements, right? They all have mission statements of, and some of them are quite compelling and can rally people to get behind that mission. But I want to say to you this morning, what could be more compelling than the mission that the church has? Because the mission of the church affects all of eternity. We have the message of the kingdom, the message that there's a God who created the universe. And that God loved people so much that he came down as a person in the form of Jesus. And he loved us so much that he died to take the punishment for all the wrong things we had ever done, to make right the relationship that we broke when we rebelled against God, when we chose to go our own way, when we chose to say, "We know better than you. We can figure this out on our own." And yet he came and he paid that price so that we could enter into this eternal relationship with God. And so that we could be a part of God's mission to make all things right in the world and to make them the way that they were supposed to be. And in the end of all time, Jesus will make all things right again and redeem all things. And there won't be any death or pain or sorrow. What could be greater than that? What mission is more compelling than that? And so we're sent with that message of the kingdom, that there is more to life than this. And that there is a God who loves us and wants to send his Spirit to live in us. That is a compelling message that we have. So you're sent with the message of the kingdom. But we're also sent for something. In Luke 10, it says this. It says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him, to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Now, in the MB denomination and the Mennonite Brethren denomination, all throughout it, through different branches of it, the mission organizations of it, all that, the seminary, there have been people who have been praying this prayer that you find in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. At 10:02 a.m. every morning, they set their alarms and they pray this prayer: "Lord, send more workers. Send more workers to live out the mission, to tell that, to bring that message that I just spoke of to the world. Send more workers." And I would encourage you to set your alarm for 10:02 on your phone and to remind you to pray every day that God would rise up more workers who would bring this message to the world. But the interesting thing about Jesus is he doesn't just tell them to pray for it. He tells them to do it. Listen to the last part. "Go, I am sending you." So he says, pray that God would send more workers, but also you're the answer to your own prayer. Don't just pray for more workers, be one of the workers. And so I want to say that we are sent for the furthering of God's kingdom. We are sent to take this message of who God is and what he's done for us to the world. And we're also sent to bring about the values of that kingdom, values we've been talking about during this series, like mercy, justice, hospitality, compassion, love, forgiveness. We're supposed to live those out in our lives. And in doing so, then, we are to further God's kingdom. And here's the thing about God, about the mission of God. Here's the thing about God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, everybody plays. Everybody plays. Now, I've been an athlete my whole life. I went all the way through college. Soccer was my sport. I've played other sports too. I still play men's league soccer. I love sports. I really enjoy them. And one of the things growing up always is that I hated not being able to play. I was so determined to play that sometimes it was actually unhealthy. I remember one time when I was playing college soccer, and during warm-ups, I separated my shoulder. During warm-ups, I'd separated it several other times, so it kind of popped out easily. And I separated my shoulder, but I was so determined to play the game that I put it back in on the goalpost. Put it back in on the goalpost, and then my coach was like, "Are you all right?" I'm like, "Yep, I'm good. I'll play." You know the what even crazier part? It was preseason. It didn't even matter. But I was so determined to play that I would do crazy things like that. Now I pay for it because there's often times when my shoulder is painful as I get older. And it probably wasn't worth it, but I had such a desire to play that I would do anything to play. And there was nothing I hated more than when I had to sit on the bench. If ever I had to sit on the bench, it drove me crazy. I wanted to be in the game. And in God's kingdom, no one has to sit on the bench. No one has to sit in the crowd and just be a spectator. In God's kingdom, everybody plays. Everybody has a significant role to play. Everybody has a calling from God to live out. Nobody is just a bench player. We don't have people in God's kingdom that are really, really important and people that don't matter. God's word is clear about that. It talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, it compares the church to a body. And it says, you know, in a body, all the parts are valuable. You wouldn't say, "I don't really need my arm," or "I don't really need my nose, might as well cut it off." That would be senseless. It's the same thing. Everybody has value. Everybody has a purpose. And we're not meant to compare ourselves to others and say, "Well, they're clearly more valuable than me, so I don't really have much to offer myself, so I probably don't need to be involved. I probably don't have a calling. Those people over there, they're called because they're so gifted. But me, I don't really have much to offer." No, that's nonsense. It's not true. You all have something to value. You have relationships that only you have, that other people in the church may not have influence in those people's lives. But you do. All of us need to play for God's kingdom to advance. Nobody gets to just sit on the bench. So what I want to ask you this morning then, with that in mind, is what is God specifically calling you to do? Because we all have this part of this mission to take God's message to the world and to bring about God's kingdom values in the world, but each one of ours mission, our calling, so to speak, is a little bit different. You aren't going to live it out the exact way I would live it out, or the exact way someone sitting next to you might live it out. So how has God specifically designed you, specifically gifted you, so that you could live out this calling? And maybe a place to start, if you don't know, is to try to figure out what gifts has God given me? We actually have a spiritual gifts test right on our website under Go. You can go and do it. It's not like perfect science or anything, but you might be able to get an idea of, oh, God has gifted me in this way. Maybe there's something there for me. But God is calling you in some way. And finally, I want to say that you are called to something. Here in Acts chapter 1, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus says to them, some of you are going to stay in Jerusalem, and you're going to really reach people in Jerusalem where you live. Others of you are going to go a little bit further out to Judea, people around your area that are a little bit like you, and you're going to reach them. Some of you are going to go to Samaria. You know those people, that people group you don't really like, and they're not like you, and they're kind of weird, and they're a little further away. Some of you are going to go to them. And then he says, finally, some of you are going to be sent to the ends of the earth. And so each of us, I believe, are called to somewhere. In a certain season of life, we may be called to a certain place. So some of you, I believe, are called to your workplace. And you are called to be a light for the kingdom in your workplace. You are called to live with gospel intentionality, to look for opportunities to share the gospel with people in your workplace. And that is a valid and very needed calling. That calling is not any less valid or any less important than people being missionaries or pastors or whatever. That I just want to validate that. That is such an important calling. And if that's your calling, live in that calling with all you have. That's a valid, important calling. We need more people to live with gospel intentionality in the workplace. I mean, imagine what our city might look like if believers in Prince George all said, we're going to live with gospel intentionality in our workplace. I mean, that is an amazing calling in and of itself. Some of you might be called to other places in our province, in our city. Maybe some of you have heard us talk about the MCC apartment buildings and how there's opportunity to serve there. Or you've heard about school sponsorship. There's opportunities to go and read with kids. And maybe those schools and blessing people in those schools and living with gospel intentionality in those relationships might be your calling. And some of us, because we've already sent missionaries out from this church, are going to be called to the ends of the earth. And I want to highlight, actually, this morning, I feel led to highlight a specific opportunity. Some of you may have heard that recently we sent a team to Mongolia to be with the Bergs and to help them in their mission. I want to tell you a little bit about their mission because there's an opportunity there to be sent. So the Bergs, they are in Mongolia, and they are near a place, and in that place, there is something called the mother tree. And what the mother tree is a dead tree. And they go and they pray to this tree and ask them to give them fertility and their crops would be good and all that kind of thing. And right across from this tree that is the Berg's land, where they grow fruit trees. that actually give these people an opportunity to learn how to grow fruit trees and to have a living and provide for themselves. But the Bergs have a greater vision than just planting fruit trees, as good as that is. I mean, that's great to empower the people to have that opportunity in and of itself, but their desire is actually that they would also have a training and discipleship center where they not only would they train the people how to have do the trees, but they would also train them in who Jesus is and how to live as disciples of Jesus, and even to plant a church and to empower the church in that community to grow and thrive. And so they are looking for a couple that would come and just say, yeah, that's us. We are going to be those people who can lead the discipleship movement in that place. And maybe that's you this morning. And that'd be fantastic. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing for us to send another more people from our congregation to support missionaries who were already sent from our congregation? I think that would be a beautiful thing. So maybe that's you. Maybe that's your calling. But whatever your calling is, I want to say that this church wants to be a sending community. And what we mean by that is we want to empower you to discern and be equipped to live out whatever your calling is, whatever that might look like, whether it's here or whether it's afar, to live out the calling God has for you, because we really believe that in God's kingdom, we all get to play. The worship team are going to come in just a minute here, and they are going to lead us in another song of worship. But as they do, I just want to take a moment just to pray for us. So let's just pray together as the worship team comes. God, thank you that you give us a mission and purpose for our lives, God. Thank you for the empowering of your Holy Spirit that enables us to live out the calling that you have for each and every one of us. And God, I just pray that if there are people here who maybe are unsure or unclear in this season of life what you have called them to, God, that you would make that abundantly clear to them this week. As they spend time in prayer with you, that you would just reveal to them what it is that you have for them in this season of their life. And that you would just empower them by your Holy Spirit to live that out that calling. And God, if there's people here who don't know who you are, who haven't said yes to you, Jesus, I just pray that they would sense the love that you have for them, God, and that you would bring people into their lives that would just continue to help them understand who it is that you are, so that they too would be able to give their lives to you and choose to follow you and be empowered also to live on the mission that you have created them for. So we just pray and commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.